Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Genesis, and we'll be continuing today with part one of Loving Our Wives as Ourselves. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." We return once again to the subject of the marital relationship, a relationship that, as we can see from our text here, originated with God in the beginning when he created man and then woman as the helper suitable to the man. If you remember, we are looking at the roles and responsibilities of both the husband and the wife, returning one last time to the responsibility of the husband. So we want to look again at the fuller teaching on the subject of marriage given to us in the New Testament and specifically in Ephesians chapter 5. And so I'm going to read to you verses 28 and 29 of Ephesians chapter 5. "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church." And so we looked previously at Christ as the husband's role model, how we as men, as husbands, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And we want to look a bit further at that. But here Paul says that the husband is to love his wife as he loves himself. It's interesting to me that in the marriage relationship, only the husband is instructed to love with that deep love described by the Greek word agape. Now, when Paul wrote to Titus, he said, in giving instruction to the older women, the things that they were to teach the younger women, he said there, teach the younger women to love their husbands. But interestingly, he doesn't use the word agape. He uses the word phileo. And this word agape, this word that we're familiar with because it's the word that expresses God's love to us, This word is used in regard to the husband loving his wife. So why is it that agape is used for the husband in his love toward the wife, but the word is not used in the other direction? Well, I think there are two reasons. Number one, as we've already seen, the husband is following the example of Christ, and Christ's attitude toward the church, of course, is an attitude of love. So we are to follow the example of Christ. But secondly, on a very practical level, a wife, her number one need is to be loved and to know that she is loved. Now, I can vouch for that. Now, from my experience as a husband, I know that this is absolutely the case. More than anything else, my wife needs to be loved. She needs to know that I love her. She needs to experience my love toward her. Paul, of course, wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We don't know Paul's background, whether or not he was married. In some senses, it seems like he might have been at one point, because he does seem to have a lot of good insight and understanding into the marital relationship. But whether or not that's the case, Paul is writing, as are all of the biblical writers, they're writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So listen, men, this is God's word, and this is what God says our wives need. Our wives need to be loved. God is telling us what our wives need. And I know in my own experience, when I am obeying God in this area and loving my wife as He tells me I am supposed to, you know, it really does make for a wonderful marital experience. There are far too many people in the church who are believers, seemingly, whose marital experience is less than enjoyable. It's less than pleasurable. It's burdensome and difficult and just downright unpleasant in some cases. But it not only doesn't have to be that way, it shouldn't be that way, because God has told us how to do things. And if we do them the way He has told us to do them, then we're going to have a blessed experience. The Bible says, regarding a man finding a wife, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. God saw the loneliness of man was not good, so He created the woman as the helper suitable, and that was good. God saw everything then. That was good. So, let's look at what Paul said here specifically. He says, husbands, love your own wives as your own body. Now, self-love is a fact of human nature. Paul is appealing to something that we can all identify with. We love ourselves. It's just a natural thing. I have concern for myself. I want to make sure that my life is as pleasant as it can possibly be. I want to make sure that my life is as comfortable as it can possibly be. I want to make sure that my life is as enjoyable as it can possibly be. It's a natural thing. That's the way all of us are. And Paul is saying that we as men are to have that same concern, care, compassion, and love for our wives as we do for ourselves. But isn't it true that so often we are rather selfish? We have those affections for ourselves, but we don't necessarily have them toward other people, and sometimes we don't have them toward our wives. But we're supposed to. This is it's to be a very natural thing, just as it's natural to love ourselves. So, practically speaking, how do we do this? How do we practically love our wives as ourselves? Well, let's look at the negative things first. Let's look at things we should never do if we are loving our wives as Christ loved the church, and if we're loving our wives as we love ourselves. Number one, we should never, under any circumstances, be physically abusive to our wives. No sane man intentionally abuses his own body. And therefore, we should never, ever, under any circumstances whatsoever, abuse our wives in a physical manner. Now, you might think, well, Brian, of course, why are you even saying that? I mean, this is church, and of course, we don't do things like that. That's the way it should be. But sadly, that's not the way it is. Because over the years, we have on many occasions spoken to people and been involved in situations where this kind of thing has been going on. And it just is absolutely unacceptable. There is no way. And as a matter of fact, if there is a consistent abusive sort of a thing that's going on in a relationship, and there is the profession from the man that he's a Christian, I seriously question the validity of that profession. I think a man who's physically abusing his wife, it's very doubtful that that person is actually a Christian. I don't see how you could possibly behave that way and really have Christ dwelling in you. And if maybe there is a chance that a person is saved, obviously they're in sin. Obviously their heart is so hard. Obviously they can't hear the Lord or feel the conviction of the Spirit. So it's a massive problem. But never physically abuse our wives. Secondly, we should not emotionally abuse our wives. There is such a thing as emotional abuse. Maybe you've never lifted your hand to harm your wife, but you abuse her emotionally. People play mind games, and those things can be very, very hurtful emotionally. There is such a thing as mental manipulation. And, you know, you treat somebody in such a way emotionally that it is actually very, very abusive. Sometimes men will, as a form of emotional abuse, they will flirt with other women. And they will do that to sort of keep their wife in check, sort of, you know, maybe out of their own pride. They want their wife to know that, hey, honey, you know, I can get somebody else anytime, you know, so you better be thankful that you've got me, because, you know, I'm you know, hey, I could be out of here. And those kinds of things happen. But these are mental games, and they're forms of emotional abuse. We should never do stuff like that. This is not only childish, but it's downright sinful and absolutely wrong. Men, we should never verbally abuse our wives. There's no place for yelling, cussing, name-calling, screaming. These things should be unthinkable for Christian men. But again, I have been shocked to see how sometimes these things go on. And I have on occasion said to men, look, don't you realize God is watching? God is listening? God hears the things that you're saying? Of course, in many areas, but we can certainly apply it here. If we have a lax attitude toward living a godly life, it's because we don't have a fear of God. We've forgotten that God's taking account of these things and that one day we will give an account. So verbal abuse, you know, it's heartbreaking. And I had the experience just this week to sit with a lady who lives with an abusive husband. Not physically, but emotionally and verbally. And to sit there with her as she wept, it's heart-wrenching. And you think, how sad. It just shouldn't be that way. We should never verbally abuse our wives. We should never intentionally neglect our wives, just as we never intentionally neglect our bodies. Now, of course, we can all be guilty of being negligent at times, but it shouldn't be intentional. You know, sometimes there is that, you know, I'm going to give her the cold shoulder sort of an attitude. And we intentionally become negligent. Again, it's wrong. We shouldn't take our wives for granted, which is easy to do. And all of us, of course, I'm sure all of us who are married or have been married for some time, we've done that at times. I know that I've done that. There are times when Cheryl might be out somewhere and I'm not really aware of where she is, and we haven't had any contact for a while, and you know, she's not home when I thought she was going to be home, and I can't reach her on her phone or whatever, you know, and all of a sudden you get a little bit of a panic that starts going, you know, and I wonder if she's okay, and then, you know, suddenly you realize, oh my, you know, I find myself realizing how often I take her for granted. But then just that momentary thought that maybe something happened, or what if she wasn't here? We should live with that consciousness more consistently. So if we're loving our wives as ourselves, these are the things that we're never going to be doing. And if we're doing these things, then what? We're not loving our wives as ourselves, and we're disobeying the clear command of God. But let's move now to the positives. And Paul says here that we are to love our wives as our own bodies. And then he says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. This is a very good description of the way we treat ourselves. Now, we don't necessarily think of it in those terms, but we do. We nourish and we cherish our own bodies. These bodies are important. I need this body. And so I put a lot of effort into taking care of it, especially the feeding part. I put a lot of effort into making sure I've got enough food. But it's not just any food. I cherish my body so much, I want food that tastes good, really good. But, you know, if you stopped and thought about all the things that we do that, you know, we're not consciously thinking of as nourishing and cherishing our bodies, but in actuality, if you think about it for a while, that is really what we're doing. We're nourishing and cherishing. It's a natural thing. Again, it's not a bad thing. It's the way we are. But this is how we are to treat our wives. The word nourish, the idea is to build up our wives, to help bring them to maturity. And so, men, we should treat our wives in a way that builds them up, strengthens them, as well as helps them to attain their full potential in Christ. You see, as I said previously, we have to realize that the marital relationship is not just this aside. It's not just this thing that, oh yeah, I'm married, you know, and then I've got this whole other life out here that I see as so much more important. No, the marital relationship is, as we've seen, it's vitally important to God. It's something that I have to invest in. It's something that I have to put forth effort into. And in nourishing my wife, I've got to put forth an effort to build her up and to strengthen her. You know, it's easy to forget sometimes, especially if you have a very competent and capable wife. It's easy to forget that they are the weaker vessel. And I do that sometimes because my wife is very competent. She's very capable. And sometimes I forget that she is the weaker vessel. And this past week when we had something came up and we made a decision to send our daughter to England, and I couldn't go, and we felt it was important that she, you know, didn't go by herself. We felt that one of us needed to go. So I just looked at Cheryl and said, you know, honey, you got to take her. And, you know, I was expecting the, of course I'll take her, no problem, you know, because that's the way Cheryl usually is. And all of a sudden, she was not like that. She was very vulnerable, but I'm going to have to fly back home by myself. I'm like, fly back home by yourself? What are you talking? Of course you're going to fly back home by yourself. Haven't you done that before? Well, I usually have somebody with me. You usually have somebody with you. Oh, I never thought of that. And she was a little bit nervous about, you know, she had some connection. She's got to make the connection and all this. And I get in the mode of, come on, Cheryl, you know, snap out of it. You're strong. You're tough. Get over there and take her. And then it dawns on me, wait a second, this is what the Bible's talking about, the weaker vessel. She's a weaker vessel. So instead of just giving her, you know, the pep talk, like, oh, come on, what's the matter with you? Get over there and do it. I've got to go, oh, honey, I'm sorry. Yeah, oh, it is going to be a challenge. You're right, but I'm going to pray for you. We're going to make sure. And it's amazing how much that helps. And I usually end up doing that after I've done the wrong thing for a few minutes. The other day we were going, it was Chuck and Kay were coming home the other day, and we were going up to LAX to pick them up. And as we were pulling out of our track there, the car was out of gas. So Cheryl said, go to that Arco station over there. I said, no, I don't want to go to that station. I'm going to go to the one on Brookhurst. So she says, oh, don't, you know, and she didn't like that idea. So it's okay. I'm the man. I'm going to the gas station on Brookhurst. So we get over to Brookhurst, and of course she's afraid that we're going to be late to pick up her parents. And so we get over onto Brookhurst, and lo and behold, they've got Brookhurst down to one lane. And there we are, we're just, you know, going along at 3 miles an hour, and, you know, she's saying, I told you to go to that other gas station. You never listen to me. You always do, you know, acting like I knew that Brookhurst was down to one lane. And, I intentionally did this to make us late to pick up her parents. So, you know, my natural reaction was to sort of fight with her about it. And what do you think? You think I would have come this way if I knew it? Of course I didn't know it. And, you know, all of this stuff. And then before you know it, you know, we're in a big fight. And so I have to stop and say, okay, look, I'm sorry. I should have gone you're right, I should. Please forgive me. No, you're not sincere. You're just saying that. Now see, many times in years gone by, she would have been right because I wasn't sincere. I just didn't want to fight anymore, so let's just get over this. But I've learned over the years, you know, it's much better, it's much easier to be sincere and to just say, no, sincerely, honey, I am sorry. If I would have known, we wouldn't have gone this way. I'm sorry. We're going to get your parents on time. Don't worry. We're going to be there. And of course we were. We were early. But back to the point, we men, we need to build them up. We need to strengthen them. We need to be an encouragement to them. Now, communication, as we've touched on before, communication is so vitally important in the marriage relationship. And the psychologists say, and they're probably right about this, that one of the biggest problems in marriage is a lack of communication. Now, generally speaking, the man usually has a more difficult time than the woman with this aspect of the relationship. Now, I haven't counted, but if I could take a guess, I would say for every one word I speak, Cheryl speaks 100 words. She does, really. We go on these great walks. We have these really great walks that we do together. And for at least 1 hour and 45 minutes, she talks. And it's good stuff. It's wonderful. I love it. I get blessed. I get encouraged. It's a great, great time. It's just the difference in our personalities. You know, the worst thing that Cheryl can possibly ask me is, what happened when you were at that whatever it was? Oh, well, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. We just did, we just did whatever. I don't know what happened. I can't really give that kind of a description. I don't know why. And on the other hand, boy, if I ask her what happened somewhere, I will get the most detailed account imaginable. I will find out information that I didn't really even want to know when I asked the question. And so, again, it's a generalization to some extent, but it seems that it's fairly consistent that we as men have a bit more of a difficult time in communication.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Loving Our Wives as Ourselves. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Loving Our Wives as Ourselves. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT0012. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.